from Australia, and he has been in knowledge since 19 years, and presently he is here in serving in Global Hospital and Research Center since last 7 years. Yeah, one.
中国频道是102.5, 谢谢。
And he works in the department known as Manager Organization Development. So once again we welcome him and listen from him understanding and transforming attitudes.
Om Shanti. Thank you, Indu. Are the translators ready? Translators are okay?There's plenty of room here in the front seat. Sisters, you're welcome to come and sit here. Great. So as Sister Indu said, I've had the fortune of living in Mataban for the last 7 years. And if you had have asked me 8 years ago, if it had have been in my wildest dreams, let alone even a thought,to have come and lived in Mataban, it wasn't even on my radar. So 7 years later, I feel like I've been really sustained by the atmosphere of Mataban and also by all of the seniors. And I've had a lot of wonderful opportunities with the daddies and the senior brothers and sisters.That have really helped me to really understand and value Mataban for what it is and how it really gives us so much sustenance and strength. And I just wanted to share with you one thing that I experience around about September of every year. And, you know, Baba talks about the double foreigners being the fragrance of Mataban. And...You know, it really does change the atmosphere when the Mataban, when the foreigners come here, because they've made so much effort throughout the year. And I thought, how much do I really understand what Baba is saying? What is an attitude? So I personally have done quite a lot of churning on this. And also for 18th of January, and I'm not sure how many of you have received this, Daddy gave out a book in Hindi and English to everybody for the celebrating 18th of January, and it's called Transforming the Attitudes of Others Through Your Own Attitude. Has anybody received this? Who has received this? One, two, yeah. So we'll see. I'll speak to Sheila Ben and see if we can get copies of it, but it's really beautiful, and it's...full with pages, and every page has a different aspect about attitude. So I just wanted to sort of give a little bit of a context. Last season, you know, Baba was talking about the importance of really understanding the four subjects and really taking the powers from each subject. And...Whenever I'm teaching the course, whether it's the first lesson or the second lesson or the third lesson, my framework is I talk about the four subjects right from the day one. And I just want to give you, I'm a very visual learner. I'm not sure about you. I very much learn from diagrams and drawings, and my Merle notes are very much graphical. They're not...You know, Baba said this and Baba said that, and you're falling off the end of the page. So I just want to give a little bit of my graphical thoughts here. And so this is being recorded, so I'm going to try and make this graphical for the listener as well. Are you understanding me okay? Is it all right? Am I speaking slowly enough? All right?
Very clear.
Very clear. Very good.Okay. Am I clear over on the translation side? Okay? It's okay? Just okay? Okay. So, this graphic came to me several years ago when I was reading a book by BK, Nikki de Carteret, and the book is called Soul Power. And in it she described about, she had the four subjects, and she said, draw a square on the page and put it into four quadrants, and she put the subjects in each square. But I wasn't really comfortable with the square, and I was more comfortable with the circle, and I'll explain why. And there's a reason why I'm doing this. And so I draw a circle, and I've got the four quadrants, and the first one is for knowledge. And the second one is for yoga. And the third one is for service. Dana. I haven't learnt this very well, have I? And the fourth one is seva. And when I'm doing the course, right from the very first lesson, I do this. And in the second lesson, I go back to it. And I tell them what knowledge I've given them. You know, so in the first lesson, I give them the knowledge of Atma. And then slowly, as I've given them the course about karma and God, etc., I tell them. And then as we get to yoga, I talk about connection with the self, and then connection with Baba, connection with the world, connection with drama, connection with the universe, all of these types of things. And how the two are very much connected. And that dana is the outcome. You know, I'm giving a lesson here to BKs, but I'm just explaining to you what I do. But one of the things that we often do, and I did it when I first came into Gyan, and religions all over the world, we get so enthusiastic by the knowledge, and we become really evangelical, and we go straight from step number one, straight across to step number four, without these aspects. Yeah? Have we all fallen into that trap just a little bit? No? Yes? Yeah, a little bit. So, and the key is that the more we, and this is really the key around attitudes, and I'll go into this a little bit more, is the more that we go into the depth of this knowledge, the more we go and churn it. So Baba's given us a particular subject, and the subject is around attitudes. You know, and really understanding what is an attitude, and why he's putting so much emphasis on attitude. Why would Bridge Mohan say that the most important service that we have left to do is transforming our attitudes? So using the knowledge is the more we go into the depths of it and the more we understand, the more we can connect. Yep. And the more we connect, the more we imbibe. And the more people begin to experience those qualities in our day-to-day life. And the more we imbibe, the more naturally we just serve others. Yeah? And the more we serve others, then the more we understand. Huh? And can anybody remember, this is a test now, can anybody remember today's slogan? Slogan. Yeah, that service is the greatest gift that we receive. Yep. Yeah? And why is it a gift? Because in that giving, our heart opens up more, our mind opens up more, and then the knowledge goes in deeper. It's really closely intertwined. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And that's why I think he said it's a gift. Yeah. Because it's a blessing. A blessing is a gift. And it enables us to go deeper. Uh-huh. And so again, it goes around. The more we understand, yep, the more we connect, then new virtues, new things start to develop and manifest themselves. And then the more we serve, and it keeps going around. Yep. Is that useful? Yeah. It's something that I found that every lesson first lesson, second lesson, I come back to this. To try and help them to focus that this is the Brahma Kumaris World Spiritual University. It's a place of learning. Uh-huh. And this is just an outcome of 1, 2 and 3. It's not our primary reason for existence. It's actually our secondary. These are the things that enables that to happen easily. And this is very much connected to the subject of understanding and transforming our attitudes. We have to be, I feel, quite systematic in, I have to be quite systematic in the process of developing understandings, because it's when I get a little bit lazy that my awareness isn't as alive, it's not as acute, and I miss the subtle attitudes that exist within me. Uh-huh. So what I'm going to do now is just go into a little bit more about attitudes. So this whole topic of attitudes actually is a favourite subject of Dadi Ratmohini. She loves to talk about this subject, and the word for attitude in Hindi is vritti. And I heard her say once that an attitude is any thought that we have more than twice about a person, about a place, about a situation, about an event, about anything. Any thought that we have, whether positive or negative, about a situation or place. And that the thought creates a vibrational frequency in our subconscious. And it's there to pull us in a positive or a negative way, and we have to then notice the effect of it. Yeah? So it's really a vibrational frequency. So in order to be able to transform that, we need very subtle awareness. And so Baba has also said many years ago, I wish I kept these particular Merlis, but this one that I really love, where Baba said that the speciality of all human beings is what? What do you think? The speciality of all human beings is what? One thing. Love? What comes before love? Giving? No. Awareness. It's right. It's the first level. That the speciality of all human beings is awareness. And so what I'm going to do now is draw the awareness tree. And I'm going to do it upside down. So Baba says, as is our awareness, so is our attitude. As is our attitude, so is our vision. As is our vision, so is our thoughts. As is our thoughts, so is our words and actions. Notice Baba's saying is that, you know, this is the level that he's talking about, his attitude. It's right high up in the awareness tree. He doesn't focus on so much transforming your actions, not so much. It's really at the subtle level that Baba's really talking about. So this attitude is this vibrational frequency that you can feel from somebody. If somebody has an attitude towards you or an attitude towards themselves, you can feel it. And a real simple example is that you might be at work, you go up to somebody and you say good morning to them and they say good morning. And you can feel they're not having a good morning, even before they've spoken, it's that frequency that's coming out. You know, if somebody has a downer about themselves, they feel that they're no good, that they're never successful, you can feel when you just come into their field of energy. Because Baba says, atmosphere. Atma, soul. So this is very much, Baba said, changing the atmosphere with your attitude. And then the rest of the things sort themselves out. He's not talking about, he says talk about positive thinking, but this is where the whole level of the transformation of attitude, and that, and my personal experience is that takes a lot of subtlety. Because we all have blind spots. Does everybody know what a blind spot is? A blind spot? You understand blind spot? Yeah, blind spot are the things that you can't see, but everybody else can see. You know, you may have a particular thing and you a particular way of doing your stuff and you think it's really great, but everybody behind you is saying, Stephen always does it like this and he always does it like this, but you don't actually see it. Yeah, it's tunnel vision. Yeah. It's particularly something that you don't see. No, it's just the fact that they're not aware. Yeah. It could be judgmental, might be a side symptom of it, but they're not so much aware. And so, you know, Baba says that we have to serve the tree. And a couple of Sundays ago, Baba was talking about, you know, we're the trunk. And really the analogy came to me that this is the trunk that Baba's talking about. This is an inverted tree. Awareness is the seed. And this is all of the branches and the leaves of the tree. And we actually, and this is what we call the awareness trunk. And we are living, walking trunks. You know, we're serving the branches when we're deeply connected. We're deeply aware of our original religion. We're really in a deep state of peace and love. People feel that. They see it through our eyes. They feel it through our words. They feel it through our actions. Then we're serving the branches. Then we're serving the leaves. And this really helped me. It was just that I have to find words and I have to find ways of making Baba's knowledge really tangible for me. And you know, taking out from what I hear in the Merli room into something that I can put into my life. And so it's much easier for me to think of myself as a living, walking trunk in terms of consciousness and how that affects others and how my attitude and vibration changes the atmosphere around me. And I'm sure that you've all done a lot of experimentation with this. For me, the last 19 years has really been 19 years of experimentation. My life is a laboratory. Is everybody is like that? To a certain extent? You know? And the workplace for me has really become my place of my major place of experimentation. And before I came to India, I was working 3 or 4 days a week. The rest of the time I was doing service in the centre, running the centre, doing a range of things like that. And I was always looking for more time for my spirituality. Then I came to India, working 6 days a week, you know, really 7 days a week. And the lines between work became very blurred. And then I realized that work is the way. Whereas before I came to Madhavan, I was always thinking work was in the way. And that was a real change in attitude for me towards work. And so there's quite a few different things in which we can have attitudes about. I just thought we might explore that a little bit. Because that just helps you be more aware of the different things in which you may have attitudes about. So, work is one. What are the other things that we can have attitudes about? Yeah, relationships is a key, is a biggie. And they're so easy to form. You know, in every workplace that I've ever been, every one of them. And there's always been one person for which everyone has had an attitude about. That this person is like this, that they don't do this, that they're unreliable, whatever it might be. Yep. And what I've found about that attitude is it becomes self-reinforcing. And that person is held to that particular way of being because everybody's thinking about that person like that. And every time the person does something, it becomes self-reinforcing of the attitude that they have inside of them. Yep. And even when one particular place that I went to, I was aware prior to getting to that place that there was an attitude about a particular person because I knew of this place before. And so I was really conscious that I was trying not to take on board anything anybody was saying about that person. But then after about a year, I started to hear some thoughts in my mind. And I started to take on board what everybody else and believing what everybody else was saying. So something that we have to be really conscious of. What are other things we can have attitudes about? Huh? Yep. So, household. Anything else? What about from the brother's side? What are things we can have attitudes about? About environment. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's probably, I'd say, I'm saying 80% of attitude is about self. The fact that we're forming an attitude about somebody else is probably 95% actually, is all about this. The fact that we're forming an attitude is that we have lack of self-respect about self, ego, or we don't believe in our own higher potential or the higher potential of somebody else. Anything else? Yeah, okay. Culture. Yep. Yep. What's one thing that we often have an attitude about in BK life? And it was part of those four subjects. Service. Yeah. What service is, what service isn't, who should be doing it, a whole range of different things. And my favourite, which I feel, particularly for me, is about money. Yep. My attitudes about money have really changed as my years in BK life has gone on. You know, many people, you know, came in and they gave up their businesses and gave up their money and stuff like that. And now I realize about abundance. You know, if you're having the right attitude about money and the use of resources in general and that it's not a dirty thing, then you start to accumulate in all different types of ways. So these are some of the... Anything to add in different types? Huh?
Position.
Is that a 6 o'clock traffic control? We'll just have traffic control for 1 minute. Yes. Yeah. Yep, sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, attitudes toward God, culture, religion, yep. Yep, gender. And I think whatever way you choose to churn, the thing is that it's not a dry churning. I don't know what it means for you. But any one of these points is worth going and reflecting what type of attitudes are preventing me from having fulfilling relationships with myself and with others. What type of attitudes or subtle attitudes do I need to be aware of that my types of conversations with God reveals that I have about God and what God should do for me and what I should do for God. So this just provides an opportunity for reflection. And I like what you said about health, because recently I had to return to Australia for 15 months because I had to go back for medical treatment. And so prior to that time, throughout that process of the treatment, it revealed lots of things. A lot of attitudes I had about health, blockages that I had to really sit with. And once I started to accept those different feelings were coming up, that's when I felt like the real healing process started to happen. So the symptoms, and just very briefly, we'll go into what are some of the symptoms. And I'm only doing this just so that you can heighten your own awareness about the existence of attitudes. But what are some of the symptoms that there's an attitude in place? Internal complaints. Uh-huh. So the complaint may be about a person, a situation. Uh-huh. Anything else? What's your personal experience of the indicators or barometers that there's an attitude inside of you? That's anger? Yep. Yep, any type of conflict? What was that one? Your body language? So, how are you aware of that as a symptom? As body language of somebody else or your own body language?
It's not anyone looking at the attitude of the person who is in front of you. Uh-huh. You can judge by the body language.
Okay.
Like you were giving an example, when you greeted somebody saying good morning.
Yeah.
The response of the good morning itself shows the attitude.
Yep, sure.
The way it has been responded.
Yep, sure. Yeah, great. Anything else? Laziness, yeah. You know what? Yeah, that came up for me. When I did my list, that came up as avoidance. Yeah? Any type of avoidance that I have means I have an attitude about the work or an attitude about my ability to do it. And the example that I give, just recently I was asked to write an article for an international journal about my experience at Global Hospital. Now, I knew the deadline, and I had the deadline for 6 weeks, and it got closer and closer to the deadline, and I still hadn't done anything. You know, and I really had to finally sit down with myself and ask myself why I hadn't done anything. And I had certain attitudes that, you know, I was about that I couldn't do it, I'd never done anything like this before, I'm going on the international stage, I then have da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. There was a whole heap of things. I was avoiding it, putting it off, and I had to sit down and say, right, what's the story? Yeah, laziness, avoidance, yeah, that's a good one. Procrastination. Anywhere I'm procrastinating or avoiding, for me, is a sign that it's an attitude about myself or about the work. Yeah, yeah, it's finished. No, no, not yet. Waiting, waiting, waiting. Yeah. Anything else? Uh-huh. Okay. So if you're feeling competitive, the other one I see is if I'm feeling defensive. That's a real giveaway for me, if there's any sort of defensiveness. Anything else in the back row? Anybody want to say something?
Judgment.
Judgment, yep. Yeah, judgment. Okay. And I'm sure you'll come up with your own list. And it's probably worth churning and seeing what you come up and what are the things that come up regularly for you. But the key to all of this is really awareness. And what are the strategies that we do to really to increase our awareness? So I'm just going to have a seat so I can have a drink of water. As I drew that circle about knowledge, yoga, dana, service, really the degree to which our intellect is really engaged in the knowledge and that we're really reflecting deeply. It's not a dry churning. It's where we take the knowledge for a particular subject and experiment our ability to really be absorbed into a point of knowledge. Because the intellect needs to be really engaged and sharp and enlightened with knowledge to be able to pick up the different attitudes that are existing inside of us. Otherwise, they remain as blind spots. And the service field gives us the opportunity for all of those to emerge. I work in a hospital, a global hospital, and probably 60 to 70% of the staff are BKs. And so it's really like a family. It's very different from other hospitals in that we all live together. Many of us share accommodation. We don't have much space to ourselves, really. It's like 240 member family. So you're not going to be able to escape the different, I wouldn't call it a clashes, but the interactions that reveal the stuff inside you that is yet to be transformed. And if we're not diving deep into the ocean of knowledge, then that's when we feel stuck. And that's when we feel conflict, and that's when we start to blame the other person for the particular situation that we're in. When I came to the process of coming to Madhuban, Daddy Janki interviewed me 3 times because she wanted to make sure that I was the right person for coming and living in Madhuban. She's experienced. You know, it's not like going to your auntie's home. This is a lot of stuff that happens here. And the first thing that Daddy said to me, she said, Acha, you're going to receive a high jump. By coming to Madhuban, you will receive a high jump. And then the second thing that she said to me was, but to survive here, you have to dive deep into the ocean of knowledge. So that was the blessing that I received from her, was that you really have to dive deep. And I've really taken that to heart, to really transform and keep moving and integrating with the culture, because it wasn't that easy. In the first 12 months, I lost 10 kgs. You know, it was adjusting to the food, adjusting to the climates, the colds. The first 3 months, I had a cold like this for 3 months. You know, and in the first year, I think I was hospitalized 3 times with gastric things. So it's just not like coming here for 10 days or 3 weeks. You're totally integrated. You're working. There's a culture. There's a whole heap of different things. But as the years went by, I really learned to value how much this atmosphere and how much the daddies were giving me, how much attention that they were giving me to enable me to survive the 7 years. Not just survive, but hopefully thrive. So this whole aspect of the next thing that I wanted to talk about was about how to deepen this awareness. And so the foundation for this awareness tree is really this deep understanding of the mind, the intellect and the subconscious, and the knowledge and how the churning of this knowledge and the deep reflection of it and the deep experimentation of being in absorption is really important. So now I just want to take you through the steps of awareness that I teach when I'm teaching people how to meditate. And I do regularly for myself. And the first step for me in that is really being aware of the physical environment. Because we can't meditate in a vacuum. And, you know, India is a perfect place to meditate because there's so much noise. Yeah, it ain't a quiet place, is it? No? Is it your experience? Do you come to India for a holiday? You know, when I speak to travellers and I ask them and they said, I come to India for an adventure, I don't come to India for rest. And so in my meditation step practice, the first step of meditation for me is really awareness of the 5 senses. And really what I'm doing is I'm going through that step of being aware of what I call the visual energy first. The what I'm receiving through the eyes is just visual energy. And being at that such detached level to just see everything as visual energy. You know, whether it's clothes, whether it's a person, whether it's a chair, whether it's the pictures on the wall, whatever it is, we give it those labels. Huh? But actually it's just visual energy, because really what we're trying to do is to really step back and go deeper and deeper each time we meditate into that state of a detached observer. And so I go through these steps, it's just visual energy that's coming through, and I, the soul, am choosing how to interpret that visual energy. And then I go over to step number 2 and I just say, this is just sound energy. You know, just listening to the tick of the clock, whatever it is. And I can remember, it was, 2005 or 2006, I went to Sri Lanka, and I was going around and giving talks on meditation to business people in banks and tea plantations, etc. And I remember this one particular bank. And it was after the bank had closed and they cleared out the area in front of the tellers where the customers usually are. And so it was right next to the road. And outside it was raining extremely heavily. So you could hear the rain just washing down. And the road outside, there was lots of traffic going past, but there was also lots of potholes. So the trucks and cars were going past and they were making lots of sound. And then inside, where we were teaching the meditation, there was this big clock, and it must have been about this big. And so it was going, tick, tick. It was making this really loud click. And then there was this fan that I swear was pre-World War II. And it was going around and it was going, whoop, 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 whoop. And so I said to everybody, this is the perfect place to learn how to meditate. And they said, what? And I said, yeah, it is. OK, catching the train to work, whether you're sitting in the city. These are the perfect places to experiment. You know, because I don't know about you, when you in the neighbourhoods that you live in, they're generally far from being quiet if you're living in the city. So learning to go through these things, and plus living in India. You know, that when I moved, when I first came to India, I was sharing a room with a brother. And he's the same age as me. And I didn't know this before we were assigned the room together. But on the first night, I began to realize a few secrets about this brother. And he'd lived on his own for the previous 20 years. He'd never shared with anybody for 20 years. So I was the first person that he'd shared with in 20 years. And so the first night, I'm asleep by 9:30, 9:40. He walks in at 10 o'clock from where he'd ever been, and he turns on the light. And I'm asleep, etc. And then he gets into bed, pulls the sheets on, and leaves on the light. I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I've been sleeping with the light on for the last 20 years. And so we a few compromises, and I had to learn to sleep with the red light on. And I've been sleeping with pure blackness for 20 years, you know? And so I had to do this compromise. And then there were other things, you know. My bed was by the window where the sun was. And so in the winter, he would want to come and at lunchtime when we'd go for a sleep, I'd just lie in my bed in the sunshine. And then one day he comes in and just parks himself right at the end of my bed with a big bag of carrots. And so there he is, I'm fast asleep, and he starts to munch away on the carrot. You know, really loud. After living with this brother, I'm telling you, I can sleep anywhere, anytime, any conditions. Because I would sit there and saying, all of these thoughts were going through my head. You know, how can he chew the carrots like that? How can he go and sleep right next to my head? And so this learnt me to be aware, and I'd just sit there and say, "Stephen, it's just sound energy." You know, I'm choosing how to interpret this sound energy. And I'm telling you, I can sleep anywhere. Just last week, you know, I just lived near the hospital, and there was a huge wedding just at one of the local hotels. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, there's no pollution control, sound pollution control in Mount Abu. And so these microphones and everything and music and everything is going on to the middle of the night, but I was asleep by 10, I assure you. Because we have to be aware of the different thoughts that we're having in our mind about the visual energy and the sound energy. And I found this is a real liberating practice to go through these things. So my first steps of awareness is really, and this is what I teach others, is being aware of the visual energy, let it be. Be aware of the sound energy, let it be. Being aware of the touch energy, what I'm feeling through my hands, what I'm feeling through my skin. Be really aware of it. Not try and ignore it. Let it be. Smell energy, let it be. Only when I start to be aware of it, recognize it, accept it, then I can go into the step of being aware of my inner world. Would you agree? You can't meditate in a vacuum. Yes, sister. Bed smelling. Yeah, there's definitely things that you can't tolerate and you have to do something about. Yeah? You know? If you're in a room that's full of mould, etc., you know, you've got to do something about it. I'm not saying that you tolerate to the degree of being the boiling frog, the frog in the boiling water. There's definitely times I did speak to the brother and tell him, you know, choose another place for your carrots, to eat your carrots. But we talk about that and we laugh so much when we talk about that now. And we're really good friends. But we're not in the same room. But yeah, there are things that we have to do something about, and there are signs of that some smells are not good for your health, and you have to move yourself away from it. You know, I can't tolerate cigarette smoke and a range of other things. So we're getting close to people coming in for meditating. So I just wanted to say that those steps, and I'll just do them quickly on the board. My steps for teaching, enhancing and refining the awareness practice. The first step is for me is awareness of the external environment. You know, just being really aware of our all of our senses, allowing whatever's coming through, just allow it to flow like energy. Just get used to going with the flow of that energy. And then the next step is around the internal awareness. And I feel that you can only go into this place when you accept the environment exactly as it is and what's happening. So then the second step is this stage of observation. Is really, for me, this is the key to my Brahman life. This is the most important step or capability that I've learned to develop is observation. Observation of my inner world, observation of my thoughts and feelings. And for me, you know, the next step is a round of acceptance. Not suppressing what I'm feeling, observing it. Okay, I'm feeling a bit irritated at the moment. And just notice and allow yourself to have the realization about the observation process itself. How the mind and the intellect and the subconscious are working at that time, because it's that realization that will give you your intellect the strength to be able to capture a feeling again in another situation before it gets out of control. And then the fourth step for me is let it go. Let it flow. And only when we've really mastered these steps, and I find I have to go back to this again and again, even in every meditation, observation, when my thoughts start to wander, starts to go to a different situation or something that happened today, something that happened yesterday, I go back, observe, accept, let it go, let it flow. Then only can we really listen to our intuition, to our inner world of wisdom, and to Baba. And only when we're in that listening phase, I feel, can we really deeply connect. And it's when that alignment happens, that's when we experience the magic. And I found that I've become much more easier on myself with this process. You know, sometimes I feel myself in a deep state of absorption for a long period of time, other times it's quite short. But I'm really okay with myself. I'm really gentle on myself. And if you ask people about the one virtue people will always compliment me on is my gentleness. Because I've really practiced it in the meditation and it's manifested in my life. That's my self-respect. I understand that. So, it's a real quick 1 hour. It's sped on and everybody's starting to come in for meditation. So we should finish now. Was that helpful? Yep. Great. My pleasure. So I guess the key takeaway message is that you have to churn about things in a meaningful way for yourselves. Find things that are meaningful for you. Find words that really connect to you. Find ways of churning that really goes into your heart. And there's lots of other aspects that I could share, but we should stop now so that everybody can come in and meditate. Okay? Thank you.